The book of Luke chapter 14, let's start from there. It's just another place where it's recorded what the Lord Jesus said concerning us being the salt of the earth. He said, therefore, salt is good, but if even salt has become tasteless, with what will it be seasoned? It is useless either for the soil or for the manure pile. What do we do with it? All we do is to throw it out. Now, this is just one portion of the scriptures where we can easily see what the Lord was talking about when he spoke about being salt of the earth, which we read from the book of Matthew chapter 5. Let's just go back there briefly. The book of Matthew chapter 5. There in verse 13, he says, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has become tasteless, how can it be made salty again? He says, it is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. He now says, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket. But what they do is to put it on the lampstand. The purpose is so that it gives its light to all who are in the house. He said in verse 16, let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Now let's stop reading here. Now I just brought this to continue what we have been talking about, the issue of the increase of the kingdom of God on the earth. My emphasis is to explain our own part, our participation in making that thing come to pass. Now listen to this. I just want to review it again for a minute or two. Let me not be like a broken down record, but then we have to keep saying these things until people fully understand and believe them. God cannot do anything on this earth that will bless people. He cannot fulfill his purpose on this earth unless we participate. I said to us last time, all the prayers we have prayed for a place like our country will not be effective unless God finds people to use. God always raises an army. Let me say that again. He always raises an army. He has to, or otherwise what he wants to do will not be done. We read from that book of Revelation chapter 17 that even though his purpose, all right, is, well, of course, the ultimate goal is that he overcome the beast, all right, but the beast is fighting on this earth using certain principles. And that is that the kings of the earth will give their power and their authority to the beast. That's what Obama is doing. No, really, that's an example. You see somebody like Barack Obama going out supporting the entrenchment of perversion as normal. I call that a simple example of giving your power and your authority to the beast. That's what you are doing. When you start promoting an agenda that is against God, that's what you are doing. You must understand that principle. And that's the only way Satan wins. That is the only way Satan wins. God gives people authority in life. He makes you the head of a company. He blesses you. You have ideas, dreams. God builds you up. It gets to a level that you have hundreds of thousands of people working under you. You have become a king of some sort. Now, whether that thing will promote the kingdom of God or promote the agenda of the beast depends on you. When you start promoting the agenda of Satan, you are giving your power and your authority to the beast. God will promote you in life. He will make you a governor, make you a minister, a commissioner, a senator, you know, a minister of the gospel. Now, get what I'm saying? The head of a church that has thousands of members. The question is, what are you promoting? You're either working for the Lord or you are giving your power and your authority to the beast. That's just the way it works. That's the principle behind it. And that's how these people are going to win. That is, either the Lord wins or the beast will win. Now, but the Bible gives us the end of the matter. And that is that God, that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to overcome. But my emphasis is that the only way by which he overcomes is because he's Lord of lords and he's King of kings. It's only because those kings and lords give their own power and their authority to the Lord, that is how he wins. Which means, therefore, whatever God wants to do on this earth, if you and I do not cooperate, it will not get done. I just need to keep emphasizing it. It will not get done. You want Nigeria or any country you are listening to this from to change, you are crucial to the change. You cannot, and I must continue to explain that, because we're talking about this being salt of the earth. You cannot, all right, continue doing things wrongly and expect right to happen. You are one of the people that are important. You know, I said something the other day that David Paulson made a, now, I cannot quote the number he gave because he gave the reason why he gave it. I heard one of his other messages where he said why he said what he said. All right, so I can now quote it. He said, you need 5% of committed Christians in a society for the effect of salt to be felt. I said, that is because they did a study. This was based on research. They did some analysis and found out that any society that has just 5% of committed Christians, evil cannot spread. It's not because they are preaching. It's just because they are not participating. It's not because they are preaching. It's just because their presence, the aura that comes out of their soul into the environment, the spiritual signals that they emit, the spiritual energy that they pump into the environment, has a way of retarding evil from spreading in the land. Very, very important, all right? So we are very crucial. That's what we are talking about. Last time I said that Satan, understanding this, what he tries to do is to pollute us. That's the only thing he can do. I like to say this all the time. We have a situation around in which many Christians, based because of their own personal ignorance, which is always a result of the ignorance of the people that teach them. That's why when you are praying, always pray for the pastors, the teachers, the ministers in the body of Christ. Without them, things are going to be bad, all right? The main problem in the body of Christ is always the problem of preachers. If they keep on preaching what is wrong, the general population of Christians will not know anything. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now, the Christians, because they don't understand truth, all right, they keep on thinking that Satan has power. They wake up at night praying against the work of the devil. Let me say to you, he doesn't have that kind of power. The only direct power he has against you is the power of temptation. He doesn't have any other power. Any other power that he gets, he has to get, all right, by virtue of what you have done that is wrong. The only thing he can come to you directly to do is to tempt you. Nothing else. Nothing else. He has to come to you and tempt and say to you, bow to me. All right? It's when you refuse to bow, all right, that you win over him. When you bow, he gains power over your life. Until you bow to him, he does not have any power. You do not have to pray about him. Please, I'm digressing now, but I need to digress. We need to keep saying these things until people fully understand. One of our sisters the other day, she was chatting with me and was telling me about her service, the church she went to over the weekend, that's last Sunday. Not her normal church, but she just came to that town for that day and went to church. And she, in fact, she was so upset, she started contacting me. She used to be here with us. She was so upset. Now I called him and said, Augustine, what didn't happen? I said, what happened? That a man came to their church. I said, listen, it's all about money. Don't worry about these things. That is, she was disappointed that the pastor allowed it. The man was talking about raised altars. Now listen to what I want to bring out. The man said, do you know how much money Balak spent raising altars for Balaam? Now, do you know it's true? 7 bullocks. By the time, you know how much one number be? To slaughter a whole cow. And when you do 7, I know they went up many times. They will go from one vantage point and say, I'm not seeing properly. Maybe because of the spiritual angle we are approaching the matter from, it's not working. Raise me another 7 altars. And they will slaughter 7 bulls. Ah, it's money. Try go, just slaughter 1 bull. So the man was now saying, which makes a lot of sense, okay? He now said that, you see, you too, you have to rise up and raise altars. And you have to be ready, that's the point, to spend like that so that you will overcome the altars. As if it is money for money. Please, tell your neighbor that's foolishness. So. Please say it again. Say it's foolishness. It's foolishness. Real foolishness. My wife and I analyzed it. I said, the man just jumped one scripture, which shows that when Balaam was saying there is no enchantment possible against Jacob, Israel was sleeping. I don't know whether I get my point. You don't seem to get it. What were they doing? They said they were camped like flocks of goats. They were not sacrificing anything. Why are you now making it look like Balak sacrificed and that their return sacrifice? That's why it didn't work against them. The reason why they didn't work against them was because they were people of God, period. Their own sacrifices were prescribed. It was not competing with Balak. And their own sacrifice for us now is the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus. Now, why digress into that? People start fighting devil on very wrong premises. We
But how should they be fighting the devil? That's the point I'm making. The devil is not here to cast a spell against you. He knows he cannot. You are the one that thinks he can. The witches know they can't. They know. The only thing they do all the time, that's the point I'm making. The only power Satan has is temptation. When they say, that man is too powerful. He's disturbing our kingdom. You heard all those kind of stories. Somebody said when the occult, one pastor came to town, he was disturbing their kingdom. What can they do against him? Nothing. The only thing they can do is say, what do we do against this man? Because God allows them some leeway sometimes, some power to tempt. All right, so now what do you do? They start with, there are only two basic things you can use to tempt a man. It's money and sex. Okay, power, thank you. That's the third one. Yes. Yes, it's money, sex, and power. Those are the three things. Thank you very much. God bless you. So that's all they come to do. One man will come to him and say, this your church is growing very well. Let's help you consolidate it. Once he falls for that, he's dead meat. What does he mean by consolidation? Rewrite the constitution, block all the powers. You understand? Power, you don't do things so that you can manipulate people that you are the only man ever. That's one. That one doesn't work. There's the only other to say, you see, your mates have more beautiful churches. Look at what you're doing. See, you're running a ministry like this. So the money is not enough. When you price equipment, first of all, I was at an equipment shop yesterday. I asked a man, how much is this speaker? I said, 1 million for one. I said, now I understand. I said, thank God I don't do ministry where they play music. You know? that's what Satan does to people. When you suddenly see me, your messages will change. I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. How do you build without money? Who will build with the Lord today? The Lord looking like, what's wrong with this boy? Now, just by the way, this is how Satan gets authority. Are you getting my point? This is how Satan gains power against people. You'll soon read my little book I'm working on now, titled Don't Quit the Army. I'm going to outline those things in there. This is how people lose power. You don't realize, very subtle. You now start coming up with arguments like, you know, after all, I'm not taking the money home. That's not the point. You are twisting the word of God. And Satan knows. That's the second one, money. Sometimes it is you that need the money. Every pastor too, they are going abroad. They are carrying their children. And you, nobody ever gave you money to even go to Asaba with your children. Are you getting my point? Those are the things we are talking about. These are the things we are talking about. Listen, let me tell you something. You must take the vow of poverty if you want to succeed in this life, in anything that you do. Go and read my book, Grace to Prosper. There's a chapter there titled The Vow of Poverty. It doesn't mean you'll be poor, but it means that material things must not matter to you. If you have them, use them. If you don't have them, bless God and keep on moving. That if you want to succeed in life, you need that. Satan tries that, it doesn't work. The only other thing he has is sex. There's no other thing. He will have a woman come and see you later at night when you stop putting yourself in situations where problems will arise. Do you get my point? That's all. Listen, any man that Satan doesn't get on these three things is permanently safe. They can't cast a spell except they pass through these three things. That's the point I want you to understand. That is, if you can avoid those things I've mentioned, you are fine. That is all. You are fine. Satan cannot. The word is what? Cannot. No witch. All right? They cannot. Cast a spell against a child of God. The only thing they can do is tempt. It's only, and let me tell you something about it. Even Satan understands. The first time a child of God falls for those things, God takes it upon himself to discipline the person to correction. When a child of God now persists in his ways, persists in her ways, that is when Satan gets the grip. What am I trying to emphasize? Don't worry about, you know, Christians worry too much about praying about the devil. And that's what I keep on saying. I don't do it. I can't remember doing that in decades, literally. Why? It's unnecessary. I don't raise any altar against anybody. Raise any altar you like against me is your problem. The only altar, all right, in my life is, you know what I mean? My life has been given to Christ totally. I'm a living sacrifice. Do you understand? I present my body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. That is all. I can't raise an altar against witches, raise an altar against enemies, raise an altar. It's on, people just, you know, they bring this ignorance into prominence these days, and it is sad. But the main thing, let me get back to my main message. What Satan is really trying to do is to pollute people. That's what I've been trying to explain. And that is one area we must focus on. It is that pollution that is the strength of the enemy. Now, please, that's where I'm continuing from. That's where we ended last time. There was something I said last time. I just want to, you know, make that statement again to use to continue. Remember, before I make that statement, we've been saying that there are two ways to promote the kingdom of God on the earth. There is the active way and there is the passive way. The passive one is what we have been talking about. We'll get to the active one later. The passive one is, it appears easier, but it's actually the more difficult one. What is it? What I mean by easier? You don't really have to do anything per se in actively trying to push the kingdom forward. You just need to remain pure as a child of God. And that is the main way you promote the kingdom. You know, let me just read that statement I told you I wanted to make, that I made last time. I made a statement last time that it's total deception to think, this is an example, you can take money gotten by methods of the world and use it to preach the gospel. If you do that, you have missed the point. The truth is that a polluted hand can only strengthen the agenda of the devil. I want to explain that again further today as I go on. Listen to me, this is a mistake a lot of Christians make. They steal money, they give a portion. And they still start telling themselves that as long as I'm giving to the gospel, it is okay. I have heard this thing preached many times. I've heard a man say before, it doesn't matter that it is blood money. If you bring it, we will wash it with a bigger blood. I thought, is this guy joking? I mean, you know, there are things you hear, you wonder, is this man serious? Does he want God to take time out to punish him, you know? Are you begging to be made an example? Because I do not believe that a Christian can stand on the platform where you are issuing forth the word of God and say that even if it is blood money, don't worry, we will wash it with a bigger blood. It is not true. If you go and read under the old covenant, there are places they will get to. God says, take nothing out of the place. Kill man, woman, children, animal, burn everything, gold, silver, toss them into the fire. I don't want anything out of that place. Some things can be that polluted. Listen, let me emphasize it again. There was a time Paul was preaching and a young girl was supporting his ministry. Listen, as a preacher, it is not every kind of support that is good. A young girl was supporting his ministry. How? Declaring, doing publicity for them free of charge. But at the end of the day, we know what was she doing. She was casting a spell on the people. Her words were deadening the ears of people so that their hearts would be hardened against the gospel that Paul was preaching. Paul had to descend that and cast the demon out. But the point I want to bring out is that this is how it is. The method by which you get something, the way you live your life, affects the gospel you claim you are preaching. If you use stolen money to build a building for God, that building will never bless anybody. Are you getting what I'm going to explain? With God, what we are is more important than what we do. And that's what I'm trying to emphasize to Christians. What you are is more important than what you do. You must ensure that you are the right person. I said it last time. If you are right, then God can do anything he wants to do through your life. Let me give a quotation from the message by David Paulson that I've been quoting quite a bit in recent times. He said, what God wants, you know, God is very good. Amen. As if he knew I was going to preach this message. So I just started stumbling on messages that, although I think there's a spiritual principle behind it anyway. I saw some of messages that are saying these things that we're about to start preaching on, you understand? So I listened to this during the week. I had to stop to write it down. The man said, what God wants now in this nation, was talking about the UK, and this generation, I added that this generation, more than anything else, is a holy people who are pure and blameless, and who can prove that you can live in this world a clean and upright and decent life.
He said, the thing that God wants more from his church is not that they do something, but that they should be something. He said, God is not looking first of all for an evangelizing people or a serving people. He is looking first of all for a holy people who will represent his holiness in the world and shine like stars in a dark and dim world. It is more important than your office that you are known for your Christian character, for the purity of your words and your actions, than you are known for being the preacher in the place. There's one man my wife had some business dealing with some years ago. This man, if he says good morning, you have to check whether the sun is actually planning to come out. Nothing he says is true. The first day my wife went to his, because they used to talk on the phone. The first day my wife went to look for his office, this was in Lagos. Everybody says, oh, you are looking for a pastor. You are looking for a pastor. So I said, this guy is pastor. I don't know what you get what I'm saying. In the market, they call the man pastor. Why? He leads the devotion in the market. But those who do business with him know that this man is not true. That is, he's very dishonest. Once I had to buy something from a man in this town. When I got to his office, I said, I'm looking for such and such person. He said, you mean pastor? I said, he's a pastor. You know why I was surprised? In the whole place, they call him pastor. First, if you see his appearance, well, anybody can be pastor, amen? When I saw his hair, I thought this guy would be more like, P-Square, you know, that kind of thing. That's... Well, you know, God looks at the heart, amen? So let's not say anything. The next thing I was telling somebody, say, I see one guy today, they said, I'm a pastor. So the person I was talking to said, who? I described him. He said, where do you see him? I told him. He said, he's supposed to be abroad. I said, no. I saw him just down the road. He said, listen, that fellow you said you saw, he's supposed to be abroad. Now, this is interesting about this man's story. He's married with children somewhere in another city. And he came to this city and promised to marry another woman and impregnated that woman. And he was now telling her that he's not in town. And he's the pastor of a church. His wife is there, his children are there. And he was deceiving that one that he's abroad. Such people, you know what they do? We are working for God. Listen, let me tell you the truth. Pack up that work for God is unnecessary. You are creating more hindrance to the advancement of the gospel by that one that you are doing. David Paulson said, what God needs, that's what I'm trying to emphasize, in this generation, more than anything else, is a holy people, people who are pure and blameless, and who can prove that you can live in this world a clean, upright, and decent life. You know, one of the things, in fact, my main message for today, all right, because we keep on saying these things again and again so that they print in people's hearts. My main message for today, actually, when I was preparing for it, is something I've said here in recent times, which I need to emphasize, and that is control over your belief system. Let me explain what I'm going to say. Somebody sent me a picture, you know, the way we send things around on WhatsApp and all of that these days. And what did they say inside there? He said, you know you are really blind. Now listen to this. He said, you know you are really blind when you can't see anything wrong with what God says it is sin. Now if God says something is an abomination and you say it's just a choice for an adult, then you are blind. If God says something is wrong, it is sin. You say this is Nigeria. There's no other way to live apart from doing this. Then you are blind. That you are really blind when you can't see that something God says is a sin. You say you can't see that it is wrong. A man, I was sitting down somewhere one day, and a man said to me that, why is the church? That's when the other Pope, Pope Benedict, first took office. And they were complaining that the man is a conservative. And that man said that, why should the church teach people how to live their lives? They should just teach people about God. You know, sometimes human beings are so foolish, the only way you can do the relay with them, you just disconnect. I looked at the man, I made up my mind, you're not worthy of being answered. And he's an intellectual. That fellow is totally blind. I'm going somewhere. Remember, we said something about being salt of the earth. Being salt of the earth is salt. Salt doesn't have to do anything to do its function. We read from that book of Luke to show exactly what salt does. Salt is used to fertilize the earth so that, I mean, if you know a bit of agriculture, all right, I learned that one, and my father taught me that, all right, as a child. I was in secondary school. We had those NPK. There's 15, 15, 15, 30, there's 20, 10, 0, different combinations. Yeah, you know that, all right? Fertilizer is salt. I mean, when we're young, those days, if we saw, you know, if you put salt on an earthworm, it breaks up. The same thing happens with fertilizer. If you put fertilizer on it, the same thing happens, all right? When it's concentrated. So fertilizer is actually salt, all right? And that was the context in which the Lord Jesus was speaking. When he says that it's not good for the earth, that Luke chapter 14, that portion of Luke that we read, all right? Now, that's salt fertilizes the earth so that good can grow. Then salt in the dunghill is used to prevent decay from spreading. Now, what am I saying? Good grows. The emphasis of the Lord Jesus, let me quickly lay emphasis there, is that we must be pure as salt. And that's what I am talking about. Good grows, not because we are preaching, that's what I want to emphasize, but because we refuse to participate with the world in what they do. The number one place where that participation starts, that's my message, is from how we think. You remember what Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 10? He said, we are casting down every thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Listen. In fact, I must read this. Well, we know it, so there's no point opening to it. The book of Romans chapter 12. Paul said what? Do not be conformed to this world, but be what? Be what? Transformed by the renewing of what? Your mind. That's my emphasis. Conformity starts in the mind. That's my emphasis. It starts in the mind. It's that mind message, it's that mind matter that's my message for today. Conformity starts in the mind. How you reason, how you interpret things, the things that you hold as the standard. People sometimes want to refuse to behave one way when they have the thoughts and beliefs that compels them to behave that way. What am I trying to say? Let me give an example now in the United States of... Well, now, let me just say something. It's not only the United States that's doing that thing, though. Sure you know. It's just because they are the loudest, they are the richest. That's one country most people want to go to. They are in the forefront of world affairs. Because I was listening to... I was hearing the report of a survey done. And they said, this was about 10 years ago, that UK was the second most godless nation on the earth. The one that you want to go and raise your children in. Many Nigerians know, if I don't go to UK, I go die. They did, Reader's Digest did a study about 10 years ago, as at about 2003, thereabout, UK was said to be the second most godless nation on the surface of the earth, beaten only by Japan. That they are having, the report said they're having four generations now of people that have not gone to church. That is, their father did not go, their grandfather did not go, that it has reached that level. In the US, most people are not going to church now, at most first generation, second, you know, that is for those who are normal Americans, you know. But it's in the UK, they have reached the third generation. That many people there, that Jesus is not the problem, they don't know about God. If I was telling the story of a man who persuaded a young man to believe in God, and before he could not tell him about Jesus, the guy had become a Muslim. So I'm just saying that. So now, again, you know, I digress a lot. I hope you don't mind my digressions. We learn. This planning you want to plan for your children, I see people do it all the time. export their wife and children to Canada and to the U.S. and say that so that they can live a better life. I will say it simply. It is a very foolish thing. Many people will disagree. Look, that's one thing. Let me just say, people will disagree. But I've realized in this life, let those who want to agree have a reference at least. And let me say things that will make people have a reference. What is the issue? That you see, when you get there, things are well planned. Iniquity there is well planned. My friend who's there, my very good friend, all right? He lives there with his wife and his children. He said when his wife was pregnant, they go to clinic. And he hates the word partner. That the word husband, is it missing to you people? He said, but you see, he's a strange person being married to the woman he followed to clinic. The two out of three that come are not married. When this homosexuality began, they started writing partner one, partner two. Because the partner one can be Adam, partner two is Steve. Instead of Adam and Eve. Yet people tell me that, you see, it's a good place to raise your children. I'm sorry, with all due respect for whoever we want to disagree with this, I think you are not listening to yourself as a Christian. Please, I'm not saying don't go to UK, that's it so. But I'm saying that I'd rather raise my children in Rwanda. As for raising them in Nigeria, I want a setting. I mean, oh, I told my son, the other day we were talking, I said, look, you will go to UNEC. It's not money that's the issue, just I like the idea. Go to UNEC, University of Nigeria, Enugu campus. You don't want to go to UNEC, go to UNIBEN. You don't want to go to UNIBEN, you want to go to private university, no problem. I send you to Covenant University. Even if I had a billion, you ain't going to Harvard, you ain't going to Princeton, you're not going to Yale, you ain't going nowhere. You have to become a man first under my watch. Then I'll now release you. But I cannot carry a teenager to a school where prayer is against the law. Like one of my brothers would say, this prosperity must not become a curse. Many people are using their money to buy problem later in life. Because you claim that you want to raise your children where water flows regularly. If you carry a butter up, it will flow. Don't worry about all of this. You know, I'm sorry to say, I'm digressing, but why do Christians make a big deal of nonsense? You are not an industrialist. You are worried about constant power supply. Is your head correct? You're not manufacturing anything. If I want to hear a problem of power supply, let me be talking to those who are manufacturing something. Now, when you hear Christians talk sometimes, your stomach... No, I don't know about you. Maybe because of the way I've believed for a very long time. I've held these beliefs, I'm not kidding, that I remember consciously, all right, for at least 20 years. I've been talking like this. I used to quarrel with people. And believe me, Nigeria was not half as developed as it is right now, as far as I'm concerned. There were no phones. I mean, how do you know things like that? But I said, what is wrong with you? When I talk to people these days, I see the kind of thing they make a big deal of. And I'm looking at them. If you're in America now, you can build a house with mortgage. Are you a failure that you're looking for where things are easy? Is he that overcomes that's rewarded? Listen, I'm not saying you shouldn't go out there and make things better for other people, but you cannot live your life based on comfort. No. You can't live your life based on comfort. I said it. Issachar is a strong donkey, lying down between the sheepfolds. When he saw that the resting place was pleasant, you know what he did? He bent his back to bear the burden and became a slave at first labor. Anybody that runs around because something is comfortable always becomes a slave. Slavery is awaiting the man, the woman, that's running to places because of comfort. When you want to make a decision for your life, please, always ask yourself, what is the purpose for which I exist? How is this thing I'm trying to do going to further that purpose? I digress by starting to talk about the fact, I see it a lot. People just say, you send your children to the second most godless nation on the earth. And what do you expect will happen when they grow up? I was listening to that message I was referring to earlier by David Paulson, and he said something. He said once he went to preach in a factory in London there, somewhere in Britain there. And the man was disturbing him and trying to, he gave the man time to speak.
And the man said, listen, I'm as good a person as anybody. I'm a perfect neighbor. Go and ask my neighbors. I don't cause trouble. I do where I help the poor. He talked in all the good things we should commend. He said, but I don't go to church. So what is this your Christianity going to do in me when I'm this good already without your Christ? When I heard that, I said, it's a tough challenge for a preacher. But the Holy Spirit is tougher. David Paulson said, I'm sure you can say that, but your grandfather could never have said that. For a moment, you wonder what he's talking about. He said, you are okay because your father, your grandfather went to church. Wait for the generation of your children. That wait for the generation of your children. That your children are going to be mean, they are going to be violent, they are going to be heartless. That all these qualities you have described for me is because your father, your grandfather went to church. So after that, everybody shut up. They couldn't talk again. He said, when godliness disappears in one generation, goodness disappears in the next. You know what I'm going to tell you? When you are sending your children where you think things are good now, it's because the previous generation was godly. By the time your children grow in those communities, they will have to run. Mark my words. The generation that is godless today, next generation is going to be filled with violence. Mark those words. Because sometimes I sit down and think, I say, God, what's going on? You mean you just watch these kind of things happen? Then I begin to listen to messages and read the scriptures. And I let God say, God, wait, let the thing play out. They will bite their fingers. Like I said, it's a digression. When you want to make your choices, make your decisions in life, please stop this nonsense of making it look as if you were given life so that you can have a car, buy a house, have a comfortable life. Don't think you are doing your children a favor if their spiritual content is not first and foremost in your mind when you are making decisions for them. I see Christian men, they will stay back in Nigeria. Where's husband? Where's wife? Where's children? Do you know there's a reason why God did not allow us to multiply by binary fission? You know, amoeba, paramecium, euglena. There's a reason. He was trying to create an atmosphere. He created it for you. You ruined it with your own hands. Am I giving you instructions? Do this and don't do that. No, I'm giving you understanding. I'm saying when you want to make decisions, think. 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 Know that godliness is vital to your children. And don't forget one thing. Half of the influence in the lives of your children is what you give them. The other half, you know where they spend half of their life? School. In a whole week, a normal school session. In a whole week, how many minutes, how many hours do I spend with my children talking to them? But a teacher talks to them from 8 o'clock to 3 o'clock. During the breaks, other children talk to them. By the time they come back home, you know, they take a shower, eat, rest a bit, then start doing the homework. Before you know what's happening, they've slept again. The person that talks to them the most daily is the teacher. I think it should matter to you who is talking. I think it should matter to you. If you have a choice, choose people who talk correctly. You know, I like one thing Mike Murdock said in one of his messages I heard long ago. He said, those that transfer information also transfer prejudice. By the time a child is sitting down there, the heart is open. The teacher can pour anything